Welcome back to another edition of the Baylor Lariat Sports Podcast. I'm hanging with Justin Bayer and Brian Bateman. This is Joe Holloway. Got some women's basketball, some men's basketball, some baseball, and even a little bit of football on the table today, I think.
Mm-hmm, definitely,
yeah. What do you want to tackle first, Brian?
Well, first I want to say this is the first time we've had all three of us here together, and Nick has moved over to staff writer, so it'll be a good conversation to have all three of us here.
It's old school, man.
I know.
It's like it used to be way back in the day.
Right back in the day. Starting off on a kind of sad note, women's basketball team struggled, ended up losing to Louisville over the weekend. Tough loss, but you can say that a lot had to do with the offense.
Yeah, they scored a season low 39 points in the game, and most of those came in the first half. The second half, they just experienced a total lack of offense. Well, they started out the second half on a pretty good streak, but towards the end of the game, last 10 minutes or so, it was just baskets were hard to come by. Most of them came off free throws and whatnot.
Yeah, either way, I mean, obviously they didn't advance to the Elite Eight, but there's no way you can be disappointed with this team. With everything that they have faced this year, the fact that they made it to Sweet 16, you still got to be proud of the job that Kim Mulkey did, especially after losing their star player midway through the conference season. You know, Morgan Medlock lost her mother. Rachel Allison got hurt in the end. Kim Mulkey was sidelined for the first NCAA tournament game after her kidney stone incident. I mean, that just, it scrapes the tip of the iceberg.
One thing after another.
Yeah, I mean, so there's no way that these girls should look back at this season as anything near a failure.
To me, watching Rachel Allison in the last game against Louisville is something of a personification of the Lady Bear season. Like, she's got a bum knee, but she's still out there running up and down the floors for as long as she can. You know, in the end, it didn't work out, but it was a heroic effort nonetheless.
Now let's talk about her a little bit in that game, and just throughout the whole NCAA tournament so far, she really, I mean, Coach Blair of A&M was talking about Jasmine Player being the glue of this team, but I really think that Rachel Allison was the key to the Lady Bears so far in all these victories, and then the one loss.
Certainly in the NCAA victories, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think the whole senior class really was kind of the backbone of this team, as it should be. You know, can't forget to add Jessica Mora in there, who won the Big 12 MVP or Big 12 tourney MVP. They each have their high moments or low moments, but it seems like they're always there to back themselves up as well as the rest of the team whenever the Lady Bears were there to struggle. So, mad props to the senior class and congratulations on amazing careers. Y'all definitely deserve it.
Winning this group of Lady Bears in Baylor history, I believe.
Right, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that's correct too. But I guess looking forward, though, next year we got a somebody that you may have heard of. How do you say your last? What is it? Brittany.
I'm not sure. Brittany Dominique. We need to think of a great nickname for her before she comes in here, by the way.
So 6'8". So I guess we're looking forward to next year. Obviously, you lose the three seniors. But is this next class going to be, you know, a program-changing class that's coming in?
Mulkey said repeatedly that the kids who are already here are going to have an advantage over the incoming freshmen because they know the system, because they've been in these game situations at this level. But I think you can definitely, even this year, you saw Ashley Field come off the bench many times. She even started a game or two. So I have every confidence that this freshman class, which is one of the tops, if not the top class in the nation for women's basketball, have every confidence that they're going to come in and really contribute in a big way.
Well, I just start drooling at the fact, thinking of Danielle Wilson and Brittany Griner in the same front court. We're talking about major, major block party. This is bigger than the ones that are on 10th Street during Diadillo, so this is like it's going to be a huge block party. Then Melissa Jones is quietly becoming one of my favorite players, just the way she hustles. She had some offensive spurts there in the NCAA tournament, and then Kelly Griffin is really, really coming into her own as a really good point guard. She's really quick, she's making some great passes. Even showed the ability to shoot the ball pretty well. Remember, at one point in the tournament, she just ran down the court, pulled up and shot a three. So there's a lot of excitement around the Lady Bears basketball, even though they just lost in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
I mean, next year you're still going to have Kelly Griffin, who started all year at point. And then you're still going to have Melissa Jones. You're gonna have Danielle Wilson back. You're going to have Griner. You're going to have
Morgan Medlock.
Morgan Medlock's still going to be here. You're going to have a fairly solid team.
Right, and Ashley Field. Now, I know I've said this in a column or two, and I've mentioned it before, but Is anybody starting to see Ashley Field as the next Emily Niemann at all? Anybody seeing they're down there able to jump out and hit the three?
I don't know. I think it's too early to tell if she's going to be that type of impact player on the program. But she definitely has a lot of potential.
Right. So, yeah, that should be an interesting thing to look at for the next year or so. Moving on to the men, they're in the Final Four up in the Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Final NIT Four.
Final, that's right. Final NIT Four.
Well, let's not tease our listeners here.
Right, they jumped over it. Anyway. They're going to play.
The Laird sports staff came up with the time machine. We went back and changed a few things.
Yeah, a few games. They're going to. Anyway, they're playing San Diego State with the real SDSU, not the South Dakota State, in case anybody gets
fans of ladies, women's basketball, do not confuse this SDSU with the South Dakota variety. Right.
And so they're playing in the NIT. They're playing them first round, and then if they do win, then they would play the winner of the Notre Dame. Penn State game. That's right. So. How do y'all see the Bears' chances here in the tournament or in the Final Four?
NIT championship or bust.
Yeah, I like the way the guys are playing right now. It seems like they really, I mean, there's no better time to go on a hot streak than the end of the season. We've seen what it can do to teams in the NCAA tournament, in the NIT tournament, and conference tournaments. Seems like the Bears are finally getting it all together at the right time. They're shooting the ball well. They're actually playing. They found a newfound way of defense with this 2-3 zone that they busted out. So I admittedly haven't, you know, been a fan of SDSU or watched them consistently. But from what I've read, it seems like Baylor has a good chance to make some noise here in New York.
Right. Well, I think Baylor's got to be the team with the most talent on it. I mean, we had higher preseason expectations than any of these teams.
Notre Dame was pretty highly talented, but right. Just like the football team, they kind of went way down the drain. But
I think that just if you look at the sheer amounts of talent on the team, you add the fact that they're hot, on a hot streak right now, I think that they're the team to beat for sure.
Right, definitely true. But looking at I almost said South Dakota. San Diego, they do have a bigger lineup than Baylor's been played in at least a couple of weeks. They start four forwards or whatever you want to call whatever position they, you know, they're titled forwards, but they can play, you know, multiple positions. So as opposed to where they just played a team with four guards starting set, Auburn. How do you think that's going to affect this game?
I don't think it'll throw them for too big of a loop. They've played big teams before, so I think they should be able to handle it pretty well.
As long as Blake Griffin doesn't come out. I mean, I know they just lost UNC yesterday. As long as he doesn't transfer to San Diego State and start playing for them, I think
if that happens, you just got to give him a quick concussion.
Yeah, exactly. Just give him, knock him in the head. I mean, Baylor's not a small team either. I mean, obviously they like to play with a three-guard lineup, but when you have Lomers out there in 7-foot, 260, and K-Raj out there 6'9", 240, or whatever he is, it's not like they're going to get shoved around too much. And then as far as the guards go, you just have to hope that their athleticism and quickness with the ball creates a lot of problems for San Diego State.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be their first opponent Tuesday night, and we'll be back in a few minutes with some talk about baseball and spring football.
And we're back with more Lariat Sports Podcast. I've still got baseball and football on the table. I think we're going to hit up baseball first.
Right. They had another pretty good weekend out there. 2-1 this weekend. That's their third straight 2-1 weekend. So they just beat Kansas State. The first game, the one I covered on Friday, was a little rough. They had, once again, Kendall Vols on the mound. And what happens? No run support.
Well, you can't hurt on or heart of. Give the Bears too much hate. They face A.J. Morris, and the guy's absolutely sick. He's definitely on his way to All-American status. He's 7-0. I think he has a .39 ERA or something extremely low like that. So the bats were held silence, unfortunately, for Kendall. He didn't get run support, which has been the case for him most of his career. But a lot of that just is the fact that when Baylor goes up against a Friday night starter, it's usually a team's best pitcher. So We hope Kendall the best of luck, but it's definitely not his fault that he isn't getting this run support. But the last two games, Bears bounced back, and there's some more one-run victories, just like they always do it. But a one-run victory is a victory in the standings. And speaking of the standings, very tight-knit Big 12 conference so far. I don't think a lot of people expected this. A lot of Big 12 North teams are kind of making some damage. I know Missouri and Kansas. Kansas came off a sweep of UT. So not a lot of discrepancy in the Big 12 right now.
Right. I think Baylor has a 4-3 advantage right now. But they're, as far as I know, they're one of only four teams that have a winning record in the Big 12. And they're still, we can talk about Baseball America, who has five teams in the Big 12 South that are ranked in the top 25. So, I mean, this is probably one of the top conferences in the nation. Would you all agree with that?
Well, it's the Big 12. It's a pretty competitive conference in just
about every sport. Big 12 South. Let's not think there's, other than men's basketball, Big 12 North has kind of been lacking. But that's a different story for a different day. But yeah, the Big 12 South is just really tough. Big 12 North, I got to give them credit. Seems like that's going to be a pretty tough place to play on the road. We're going up to Kansas this week. Like I said, just a couple weeks ago, Jayhawks swept the then number one UT Longhorns. So it's not going to be easy going up there this weekend.
Right, yeah, and that'll be something to look at. And along with that, Baylor has had a couple of the trouble with the rain and the weather, and they've had a couple of rain outs, which has forced, since Thursday, they're going to go on a 25-day stretch where they play 17 games, which is, you know, tough for anybody. That's pro.
So that's a baseball
right
team.
Exactly. That's that's tough, and especially when Baylor's been having such trouble with pitching. What does that mean, Justin, for the Baylor squad?
Oh, well, I went out there this weekend. Sean Tolleson's still out. Don't know how much longer he's going to be out. If he comes back within that 17-game and 25-day spell, I think the Bears will actually do all right. Logan Verrett just continues to impress me. The guy's just sick. I don't know what it is that he does, but hitters can't hit him. It's not like he has a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. The guy's 7-0, tied for the most wins in the nation, along with Kansas State's A.J. Morris. And then Willie Kemp, he had been struggling a bit earlier this year. Comes out Sunday, pitches pretty well against Kansas State, five solid innings. The only concern right now still is Craig Fritch. Coach thinks he's got some mental issues, or that came off negative. It's not a negative connotation. Just obviously struggling with confidence on the mound. But Willie came out strong. Aaron Miller's been strong. Brooks Pinkard, guy just comes out of center field, starts hurling 94-mile-an-hour fastball, amazing athlete. So once you get Sean Tolleson back in the mix and confident Craig Fridge, the Bears are talented just as much as anyone else on the mound.
Right, yeah, we even saw Joey Haynesfurther come out and throw an inning or two the other night on Friday or Thursday. So, yeah, they're getting lots of different arms out there to help work on that. So that'll be something to watch for the next couple weeks, see where the Bears end up in the Big 12 next month or so. Moving on to the gridiron, we get
to talk about football again.
Right, it's a wonderful, we're here at Baylor, we can finally start talking about football, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. We have spring football, the spring game is this Thursday, and there's, quite a bit of talk about what to watch for. So I guess if y'all all would just tell me, what were some of the things that you think really a fan needs to watch for at the spring game this weekend?
Well, I think the number one thing I'm most excited about, even though it's not really an issue, is just seeing how much Robert Griffin improved over the offseason. I mean, the guy with a phenomenal freshman season, I've heard talks from some of the players that his arm's even better, even more accurate, even stronger. So that's just, thinking of that, just really, really should make someone excited, a Baylor fan excited for what we have in store for this upcoming year. As far as problems that we had from last year, I think on the O-line, replacing Jason Smith, who's going to be a top-two NFL draft pick, barring something unforeseen. So replacing him should be an issue of concern. But defensively, on the D-line and the secondary, we know our linebacking core is strong as anyone in the Big 12 with Pavelic and Patine and Francis and those guys. But guy from Penn State,
Phil Taylor,
lost his name there for a second. Will he be as good as advertised? There wasn't really much recruiting going on in the secondary. So, Jordan, I mean, we expect Jordan Lake to do his thing, knock out people.
Down big hits.
Yeah. But as far as cornerbacks are concerned, we had some people move around. Is there some in-house development that maybe will produce better coverage? But of course, when you have a dominant defensive line that can actually pressure the quarterback, that kind of helps out your secondary as well. So that's main area concerns we have going into the spring game.
Right, and I'd look at also on the talk about the defensive line, but we lost a really underrated guy, Leon Freeman, at the defensive end. And I think he was a huge force for them.
Solid. He's definitely one of the leaders on that line.
Right, so that's going to be something to see, because I know we got a couple of freshmen coming in that could play. We got Kelvin. And a couple other guys that might come in and play. But I think that is going to be a huge key there to who, when Phil Taylor gets double teamed and such, who's going to be able to get off the outside and get to the quarterback. And then you got, I think another big thing is the receivers. We've had some good, fast receivers, but some of them can't catch the ball. Some of them struggle, holding on to it a little bit and just being able to get them into open situations.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see as Robert Griffin's passing game develops. A lot of the stuff we did last year was maybe more beneficial to inside receivers, Thomas White, Kendall Wright. I'll just be interested to see how we incorporate some deeper passing as Griffin's arm develops.
Well, I think the great thing about this receiving core it's a really deep receiving core. Browse brought in a good chunk of recruits, namely Darius Jones, who we took from OU.
Marshall, Texas.
Yeah. We could see Glasgow Martin play some inside receiver. So if someone's not catching the ball, there's next guy's going to be waiting in line, chomping at the bit to get his turn to go catch a pass from Robert Griffin. Kendall Wright, obviously, he's going to be returning starter. David Geddes, he's been starting, but he's one of those guys that just hasn't been able to hold on to the ball. He's got explosive speed, so if he can just work on his hands over the off season, then that could be a potentially serious deep threat that the Bears have.
Right, and then also they've made some improvements in the running game too. Joe, what do you think from that?
Well, we got Finley coming back. He's just gonna be a junior,
mm-hmm.
So he's still got plenty of time. They had Glasgow Martin, who slated as a running back last I saw. I think he might also play some inside receiver. But
yeah, the guy's a four-star recruit, absolutely, stud guy. Then we have Ganaway coming, transferring from University of Houston, kind of a short yardage guy, bigger, stronger guy than Finley and Martin. But a strong backfield. Offensively, I think the Bears are going to do all right, especially with Briles' offensive schemes. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of the success on this team lies on the defense, namely the defensive line and secondary.
Right, and another thing that we can look at real quick about the offense, Briles' offense, is that all the way, he's coaching at Stephenville and also in college, he used little packages where you have different people learn different things. So, yeah, obviously Griffin's going to learn them all.
Yeah.
But then you have everybody else comes in, they learn, 50 plays that they perfect themselves, and so that's going to be interesting to see if he's able to implement that now into the Baylor offense.
Well, I'm certainly more optimistic about this upcoming season in Baylor football than I have been in a long time. So,
right. So yeah, we'll be updating from that. So make sure to check out Friday's paper and also online. We'll be putting up some stuff on our blog and some other things about the spring football game, so make sure to check out that, and thank y'all very much for listening to our podcast today, and check back with us next week.